Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Today, I want to talk to you about the essence of faith. The essence means the building blocks, the basic material of faith. What is that? I want to help us to understand what that means today. Let me read to you some scriptures, just some bulleted scriptures. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The righteous ones will live by faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. For it is by grace through faith that we are saved. Faith without works is dead. One more in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Those are some powerful scriptures, aren't they? Those hit us. Those hit me. They're like boom, 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 one after another. If faith is this important, it makes sense that we ought to know what faith is all about. And if Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" I want to be able to say to him, "Yes, Lord, you'll find faith in me. Yes, Lord, you'll find faith in my life. You'll find faith at Abundant Life." That's what I want to say with confidence. Some of us get a little confused when we hear this word faith. We think of heroes, at least heroes of mine. One of them is a man named Smith Wigglesworth. It's a funny name for a powerful man. You can read about his life. There's one particular story of him knowing that God had said that he was going to heal a woman of some kind of stomach ailment as she was in the hospital, and she wasn't getting healed as he prayed, and so he literally punched her in the stomach. I don't recommend that as a practice when you intercede for people, but he just knew that there was a spiritual opposition, and as he did that, she was healed. That's faith. Or like one of our own ministers in our local area, Bernard Johnson, great man of God who ministered in Brazil for decades, credited with the revival that has been going on in Brazil for many, many years, would hear from God an exact number of people who would be saved at his crusades. And if that number wasn't met, he'd just wait. And people would break under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and they'd come and get saved because God had told him. Or another man who's gone on to be with Jesus, Rick Seward out of Singapore, had the practice of giving 100% of his income or of his salary to missions, 100%. And God would always provide. Or Pastor Hake Hovsepi, and we've had his family here at the church, Iranian pastor, who in spite of persecution would not stop preaching the name of Jesus, and he was martyred for his faith in Iran. We hear about these people, and that's what we think faith is, right? When you have faith, oh, it's for the big stuff. It's for the mountain-moving stuff. It's for the great miracles. It's for the healing. It's for the, you know, just to raise people from the dead. Faith, faith, faith. And that could discourage us because not many of us have done those things. I've had maybe two, what I would call real miracles in almost 50 years of serving Jesus. I'm not disappointed in that. It's just that God does what God wants to do. Some of us have a real struggle with this word faith and what it really means. Our journey and identity this year and learning who we are in Christ, learning what Christ has named us and how he has identified us, that takes faith. I don't know if you found that out yet. It takes faith to believe that. Are we really who God says we are? Are we really completely forgiven? Are we really right with God through the cross? Really? Yes, I know it intellectually, but do I really live that? Do I really believe it? Do I embody it? Do I live my life with confidence and peace and joy because I know those things are true? Or do I just try to hang on to them and just hope someday I'll kind of get the feelings that match the intellect? Oftentimes, since I've been learning about my own identity practice, maybe I've had a struggle during the week, maybe even on the weekend, battling with whatever it would be. And I usually sit right here before I get ready to speak, and I can just, God, I'm not worthy. God, how can I? God! And I hear the Lord speak, I've told you who you are. Receive it by faith. I'm not mad at you. I have forgiven you. I have washed you. I have cleansed you, and I have empowered you, and that fills my spirit, and I can get up and leave all that, casting my cares upon him because he cares for me, and I can get up and boldly and without shame speak and administer the word of God to you no matter what's gone on. But that takes faith to receive what God has given and not to be bound under the condemnation of the devil's lies. What is this faith that God is looking for when he comes back? What is it that he's looking for now? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17 in your Bibles. Hopefully you bring your Bible. Please bring your Bible. The slides don't do it justice. You need to get your Bible open. Have it in your hand. Open it. There's a collection of statements here that on a prayer morning years ago, it's great that Mark Feldmeyer is here. Myself and John Burnham and Mark Feldmeyer were praying together. We began to discuss this passage, and it just opened up to us that day. That Jesus is doing some teaching, and then he gives us an example to verify the teaching. The story starts this way in Luke chapter 17, the first four verses. And it reads this way. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Jesus is giving the disciples the basic building blocks. This is Jesus 101, is what he's giving them. Don't cause anybody to sin, so watch your life. When people sin against you, confront them in love, and when they seek forgiveness, forgive them. And it doesn't matter how many times they come back, forgive them. Basics, right? This is like elementary stuff. Jesus 101 stuff. Don't cause people to sin. Confront people in love when they sin against you. And forgive them when they seek forgiveness. We're not the master. We're the servant. Jesus said, follow me. We don't say, follow me, Jesus. With your identity, you are God's chosen. You are God's prize. You are forgiven. Even if you sin against God seven times in a day, or 70 times seven, you know what he'll do? Forgive you. You are enough. You are secure. You are more than a conqueror. You are not a disappointment. You are not overlooked. You don't need to be afraid. You are not rejected. That's identity 101 in Jesus. Basic building blocks. So Jesus is saying, number one, when you are a servant, no command is unreasonable. And when you're a servant, your identity is secure. Watch your life. Don't cause other people to sin. Confront those in love when they sin against you and forgive them. You are enough. You are not rejected. You are not condemned. You are God's prize. The building blocks, the very simple basics. Well, then he goes on, or then the story goes on. When Jesus said that, here's the apostles' response. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. that's what they respond with. With, don't cause people to sin, confront people in love, and forgive them. When Jesus said that, they said, can't do it. Can't do it. Not possible. If we're going to do that, you need to increase our faith. Because we don't have enough faith to do that. The point is, you don't need supernatural power to do what you're told. When I told my kids to do something around the house, they didn't need supernatural power to do it. They just needed to do it. And every parent said, amen. You don't need supernatural power. When I've asked God to do something mighty around our neighborhood, God always asks me, well, are you doing what I told you to do? God always wants to know if we're doing what he's already told us to do before we ask him for some kind of supernatural power. So they say, increase our faith. We can't do that. We can't watch our lives that closely. We can't confront and forgive. We can't do all that. We can't keep the unity of the faith and the body. That's not possible. Increase our faith. In our identity, we look to Jesus. But Jesus, I can't receive what you've given me. I can't receive what you've told me. I am rejected. I am a disappointment. Can't you see my failures? They're all over the place. Looks like a yard sale, my failures. I am overlooked. I am not enough. We say, God, if that's, I need more. I need more. Well, Jesus responds, number three, the supernatural things of God are dependent on the natural obedience of men. Here's what Jesus says. When they say, increase our faith, because we can't do what you just asked us to do. Here's what Jesus says. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Don't you hate it when Jesus does that? You ask him a question and he answers with something that doesn't seem to make any sense. What does that have to do with anything? Increase our faith. If you had faith, well, if you had a little, if you even had a little, like a little, mustard seed size, if you even had a little, you could talk to this mulberry tree and it will be uprooted and planted in the sea. It'll obey you. Jesus does this all the time. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies. He said that when people were knocking at the door asking him to see him. I will follow you, but first let me bury my father. Let the dead bury their dead. What? See, what Jesus is trying to say, it's not about something supernatural. It's about our willingness. Now, you know I'm in trouble as a communicator when I have to rely on 40-year-old movies to make an example. But I couldn't think of anything better. When I say the phrase, wax on, wax off, how many get what I'm trying to say? Okay, all those over 40 saw it the first time. Those under saw the reruns most likely. But for those who don't know what I mean when I say wax on, wax off, it's a movie about a martial arts teacher teaching a young guy how to defend himself. And he wants to defend himself because he's getting picked on. And he comes to the master to say, teach me how to do this. And the master says, okay, wax my car. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Daniel-san! Wax on, wax off. And then he says, paint the fence. Paint the fence. Paint the fence. Daniel-san! Paint the fence. Because Daniel-san is complaining. This doesn't make any sense to me. Daniel-san, sand the floor, sand the floor, sand the floor. Over and over and over, wax on, wax off, paint the fence, sand the floor, sand the floor. And Daniel doesn't understand what's going on. Lord, I don't understand, increase my faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith. And what happens to Daniel is then when the teacher goes to strike him, he waxed, and he waxed. And he blocked the punches. And when he threw the kick, he went, paint the fence. And another punch, paint the fence. And he blocked it. Another kick, he sent it to the floor and he blocked it. Daniel was learning how to do it without knowing he was learning how to do it. And here's the key point here, folks. What a great, great illustration. They weren't spiritual, but they got it right. So many, with our faith, God is building your faith so many times without you knowing he's building your faith. And that basic wax on, wax off, paint the fence, sand the floor is your obedience. Daniel-san, do what I say. Because you're learning without you knowing you're learning. Christian, do what God says. Because your faith is growing without you knowing your faith is growing. When you say, yes, Lord, that's the essence of faith. When you say, I'll do it. I don't understand it. I don't know. It's weird. Doesn't make any sense, but I'll do it. Essence of faith right there. And your faith is growing. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, but I'm not enough. Yes, I am. I don't feel it, but I'm enough. I'm not rejected. I'm a child of God. I don't feel it, but I am. Developing those muscles, developing that faith, developing the understanding. Jesus goes on to say, number four, when you're a servant, you don't expect thanks or praise for doing what you're commanded to do. Jesus goes on after he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, he says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes from the field, come along now and sit down, eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Jesus gives a little example. He says, listen, guys, you think this is special. Don't cause people to sin. Confront in love. Keep the unity. Forgive people when they sin against you. Oh, we need more faith. No, you don't need more faith because remember, you're the servant, I'm the master. And don't think that it's some kind of big deal. Like the servant comes in from the field and says, oh, I've done a great job. Now it's my turn to be served. No. He comes in and you prepare the master's food. You take care of the master first. You make sure the master's work is priority. And then, how many times do we want the master to make our things his priority versus us making the master's things our priority? Sometimes we just want God to praise us. We want God to notice us. We want people to notice us. We want people to praise us. And God says, you're a servant. Never forget that. Your job is simply to obey. That's it. How simple is that? Is that easy or what? How about practicing it? Easy or what? Hard. Because he asks us to do things we think are not possible. And with our identity, when he says, you're enough, you're loved, you're not rejected, you're not a disappointment, you are powerful, you're more than a conqueror, you're my child, you're not condemned. When he says all those things, we go, but my life doesn't match. Or at least my impression of my life doesn't match. And Jesus is saying, just trust my truth. Just trust it. The essence of faith. Yes, Lord, I am who you say I am. Yes, Lord, I am the person you made me to be. Yes, Lord, I am acceptable. Yes, Lord, I am your prize. Yes, Lord, I am enough. And we have to obey that and receive that. You'll find that when we receive that, the outward obedience has come a lot easier. Number five, because our master loves us, when we serve him absolutely, the supernatural things happen, and wonderful things happen, and wonderful intimacy had developed. The next verses, verse 11 through 19, there's an actual story that many want to separate from what Jesus just taught, when it actually, in fact, that story is a life illustration of what Jesus just told the disciples. Because here's what happens. After Jesus finished saying all that, he's on his way, and as he's on his way, 10 lepers approach him. Now, they don't approach him close because they're lepers. They're not allowed to come close. So they stand afar off, and they cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. 9 of those lepers are Jews. One of them is a Samaritan. They're not acceptable. They're not enough. They're lepers. Everybody hates these guys because they're infected. They're unclean. They're filthy. And they're diseased. They got to hang together because that's all they've got. They come to Jesus with just maybe. And Jesus, when they cry out, Lord, have pity on us. Have pity. Jesus then goes, go show yourselves to the priests. What? No, Lord, you don't understand. We want you to have pity on us. We can't go to the priests. We're not allowed. Don't you understand that? Especially the Samaritan guy. You might as well tell an Israeli soldier to go and confront or go and present himself to the Hezbollah. It makes no sense what Jesus is saying. Go show yourself to the priests. But when they do, when they just took him at his word, it says, while they were going to the priest, and the Samaritan must be going, I don't know what I'm doing this for. He didn't even like me. I'm a Samaritan. I'm not even allowed there. I'm double unclean. I'm a leper, and I'm not allowed to go see the priest. It says, on their way, they didn't even make it. On their way, they were all healed of their leprosy. What was the trigger that brought their cleansing? Their obedience. They just took Jesus at his word. Okay, Lord, it doesn't make sense. We don't get it. We asked you to have pity. We've seen you do it. We've seen you touch blind eyes and they were open. We've seen you say, get up and walk, and they get up and walk. For us, lepers, you tell us to go show ourselves to the priest. Ugh. But they did it anyway. And when they did it anyway, they were cleansed. But one of the 10, the one you would least expect, the Samaritan, he comes back to Jesus. The other 9 did not. The word for cleansing there is outward cleansing. In other words, they were healed. Their bodies were made whole. Their bodies were made whole. But the Samaritan, when he saw he was healed, he didn't go to the priest. He came back to the high priest. He came back to God. And this time he didn't stand afar off. This time he ran and threw himself at Jesus' feet. And he began to worship him. And he praised God in a loud voice, it says. I don't know about you. If I'm a leper and I'm healed, I'm praising God in a loud voice. He went to the priest. He didn't make it to the priest. He came back to the high priest and he was whole. And Jesus says, where are the others? Weren't there 10 of you? And Jesus said to the one, he said, you have been made whole. Different word than the physical cleansing. This word is the word sozo, which means you have been made whole on the inside. You have been healed in your heart. Those guys have clean bodies. You got a clean body and a clean soul. He was healed on the inside, and he was made well. Because there's a difference between being cleansed and being made whole. We can run around and look clean all day long, but until we are made whole on the inside, we live that contradiction. You don't need faith to obey what you've been told to do, but doing what you've been told to do is the essence of your faith. It's the first step. And as you do that, you're building blocks. You're not even aware you're building. Quickly, in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, this is illustrated. It's for your own reading. But when you look there, you find that faith, belief, and obedience are all biblically intertwined and dependent on each other. They're used almost synonymously in those passages. Their obedience, their faith, their belief, all tied together. What am I telling you this for this morning? I'm telling you this because I crave to see God's supernatural power in phenomenal ways. But the building blocks of that is just to do what God says every day. What is he saying to do? Do it. Do it. Obey. And that bleeds over into who God says you are as you're wrestling with discovering God's identity for you. Whatever he's saying, just accept it. Receive that. It's truth. No matter what temptations come, no matter what reality does to fight against that, what God says is true about you. You are beloved. You are enough. You are his chosen. You are his prize. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not overlooked you. Trust that. Receive that. And as you do, you're building the block. You're building the strength. And then at some points, I don't know, I hope and pray that God will do supernatural things in us. Because I really do believe in this day and age, what we need to see is God's supernatural power to show that he is here, to show that he is powerful. But it's not just going to come. It's going to come through an obedient people who are willing, like those lepers, to do what God has said. We're the servants, not the master. We don't need to cry out, oh, give me more faith. Jesus said, no, just do what I told you. Do what I told you to do. And watch him do what only he can do. When the Son of Man comes, will he find servants doing what they have been told to do with hearts of gladness and joy? I hope that's what he'll find here. No, I know that's what he's going to find here. Let's dwell on this for a little bit. We got a great taco barbecue out there. But don't let that tempt you. From hearing from God, let me just ask you these questions. Or ask yourself these questions. Do I feel God's commands are unreasonable? Do I feel that right now? Also think to yourself, do I feel God's word about me and my identity? Do I think it's unreasonable? That I can't quite receive it? As you pray this morning, surrender. Surrender to God and what he's asked you to do, and also surrender your resistance to receive what God has called you. Number two, do I leverage God with my obedience, expecting some blessing if in return? Blessing in return if I obey. Like Jesus' story. I've worked all day. Now it's my turn to get a blessing. Do you sometimes do for God with the expectation that if I do it, then I'll get it? Kind of like in our giving. If I give, I'll get more. We leverage God that way. We've got to release that. We just serve. Embracing who God has called us to be, his servants, is a beautiful thing. Number three, am I content to simply obey and let God lead my life as he pleases? Our life is not our own. He called us to follow him, and he didn't tell us where he was going. Just follow. Just receive. And number four, am I content to obey always, enjoying closeness with God as my greatest reward? That last leper, he came back and he experienced great intimacy with Jesus. Not standing afar off, but getting close. That's what your obedience and your receiving will bring to you. So let's dwell on these things. If you're a guest with us today and this is not something that you're used to, let me just explain. We don't feel here that we should hear God's word and then just run out as if, you know, we didn't hear it. We ought to really take time to embody it, pray it in, wrestle with what we've heard. And then when we've come to a conclusion, we've come to a place of peace, then we can get up and go. So that's what we're going to do right now. The service is officially closed in that there'll be no more talking until Sean stops playing some music afterwards, but I invite you to pray. Talk to God about what you've heard. Let him talk to you. Listen. when you feel that, you've heard from God and you feel that rest in your spirit, then let's get up and go out and enjoy some good food. So let's remain in his presence. If you've got to go for any reason, like you've got a pressing need, don't feel judged if you get up and go. Nobody's going to do that to you, all right? Okay. Let's pray together. Let's linger a while. If you want to linger in the front where it's not in your seat, you can do that. Also, there'll be two elders groups on each corner of the sanctuary front. If you have a particular need that you'd like prayer for, or if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can talk to one of them and they'll lead you. They'll pray for you. Okay. Let's go to the Lord. Let's seek his face.
It's your breath. Our lungs. So pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. In our lungs. So we pour out. Great God, thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. I pray, Father, that right now that we would begin to submit ourselves to you so that when we hear your call today, that we would be obedient and respond to all that you ask of us. May you be glorified, Father, this day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.